Welcome to another episode of K-Botak, a short podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas with me, John. Firstly, a big thank you to everyone still downloading and listening to the podcast, even though there's been less episodes recently. It has been really encouraging and heartening to see downloads coming in, 4,500 so far. Thank you so much. I am excited to be doing another episode again on a film that I really love this time. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and basically about why Michelle Yeoh is awesome. So you're probably thinking, well, this isn't a Korean film, it's an American film. Well, I might start featuring non-South Korean films that are worth it, like this one is. This has a lot of qualities that draw me to Korean cinema and to Korean telly. It is unique, original, it features very high-caliber acting, and it is doing something that I always enjoy, which is it's calling back to classic Asian cinema, and we'll talk about that a bit more. But yeah, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. If you only watch one multiverse film this year, make it this one. And you know what I'm talking about. So a potted description of this movie that I've taken off the internet. A 2022 American absurdist comedy-drama film written and directed by Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, who are collectively known as Daniels. The film stars Michelle Yeoh, Stephanie Su, Ge-hee Kwan, Jenny Slate, Harry Shum Jr., James Hong, and Jamie Lee Curtis. And it follows a Chinese-American woman being audited by the Internal Revenue Service, who discovers that she must connect with parallel universe versions of herself to prevent a powerful being from causing the destruction of them all. Now, this film is in the process of becoming a phenomenon very quickly. Everybody's talking about it, including the Korean movie and TV podcast guy that you're listening to now. But a good quote here from the Chicago Sun-Times, just to kick us off. Next to grander and glossier metaverses and more tidily sensible movies, Everything Everywhere stands as an antidote to algorithm. It's a preposterous and tasteless ode to the messy, nonsensical struggle and bliss of being human. End quote. So yeah, this is not the manicured, soulless IP movie. This is crazy and cool sci-fi with a massive heart in its chest that beats too loudly to ignore. It is also a stunning late career highlight for Michelle Yeoh, who has had one of the most remarkable genre-hopping and globe-trotting careers of any actor in history. I first saw her in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I had that on DVD, I think the year it came out, and it was barely out of the DVD player, if I could help it. I watched it over and over again. She, along with a number of the other actors in that film, sort of captivated me on a permanent basis. With that performance as the very stoic Xu Lien, with these remarkable fight scenes alongside Chow Yun-fat and Jiang Ziyi, it remains one of the most magical films ever, in my opinion. And all those actors, Michelle Yeoh, Chow Yun-fat, Jiang Ziyi, they sort of have a really special place in my heart whenever I see them in anything. Be it, you know, Chow Yun-fat and all those great old John Woo movies or Jiang Ziyi doing, you know, anything from Wong Kar Wai films to turning up in, you know, I think she was in Godzilla, and a movie about a giant shark with Jason Statham. I'm just always happy to see the cast of that film because it means so much to me. And just thinking of those scenes can give me a lump in my throat. It's an absolutely immaculate movie. It was followed up with a mediocre Netflix sequel in 2016, based on the same series of books, called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. Michelle Yeoh still acquitted herself with aplomb there, in my opinion, but a lot of very strange creative decisions with that movie stopped it from, you know, really becoming anything. For example, it was filmed in English. It was actually a Yuan Wuping movie, but apparently, in an attempt to make it more international, they filmed it in English, you know, as if the first one had needed that. The earliest thing I saw her in is the 1994 movie Wing Chun, with Donnie Yen, who has a very important relationship to Wing Chun as the most famous portrayer of Ip Man, with those four brilliant films, which I've actually only seen the first three, but the fourth is meant to be really good as well, and generally an amazing martial artist and, like, solid dude, pretty much good in everything he's been in and just seems very, very sound. He and Michelle Yeoh were both pretty young in that movie. It was a really good period martial arts film, had, you know, a pretty light-hearted tone in parts, but it's a good epic, even if there isn't a lot of actual Wing Chun. And since then, she has been in just everything from epic Chinese films like Reign of Assassins, the Marvel stuff, the adaptation of Memoirs of a Geisha, Kung Fu Panda, and of course Crazy Rich Asians, which is set right here in Singapore. She's always a highlight and always a sell point and always awesome, which is why I'm pleased to report that here, her performance absolutely sings in every frame she's in. This film has been called a love letter to a lot of things, to classic martial arts films, to genre cinema. First and foremost, in my view, it is a love letter to Michelle Yeoh. And after I came up with that great line, I was reading The Ringer, and they also said the same thing. But they also said, quote, "Everything Everywhere All at Once is extremely poignant, giving its 59-year-old star a chance to flex unexpected acting muscles while revisiting the high-flying fight choreography that made her a global icon back in the 90s. End quote. Now, if these acting chops are unexpected to you from this woman, then I'm afraid you haven't been paying attention. Many people who've appreciated her work and followed her will know that this is somebody capable of very powerful, very nuanced dramatic acting. So yeah, it's sterling work. Yeoh is by turns quirky, very funny, sad, depressive, angry. She's believable in every single scene, which is impressive as she is playing many different versions of herself. And if you've seen her dramatic work, you know that with an emotional core like this movie has, at some point she'll be unleashing some absolutely unstoppable melancholy and hope and empathy with just a few expressions. This is a one-in-a-million performer, deployed brilliantly. And honestly, she is one of the only people that could do all of this so well. Like, I think she was maybe the only person for the job with this. The martial arts, the comedy, the genuine dramatic moments, and also having the name recognition that she does. She's just done it all before in films all over the world and distills it here into a really unforgettable character and performance. Absolutely fantastic. You've also got Ge Huy Quan, who was Short Round in Temple of Doom and Data in The Goonies. This man is part of our childhood, and here he is making a comeback. He was in another Netflix movie last year, apparently, when I was researching for this, but this really is his big comeback. He did various stuff in the meantime when he felt that there weren't opportunities for him as an actor. He was actually assistant director for Wong Kar Wai on 2046, one of the best movies ever, which is going to come up again. And also shout out to Stephanie Hsu playing Joy the daughter of Michelle Yeoh's character, who's called Evelyn, with a really great turn as well. She plays, you know, a sad, disappointed kid one moment and a boiling avatar of fury the next, just without missing a beat. And she's really, really good as well. What is the movie about, though? So Evelyn is being audited, as I mentioned. Her dad, James Hong, is infirm and troublesome. Her husband is well-meaning but quite inept, and she just tries to get through the days. She is an aging immigrant in the US and is currently on the business end of some pretty blistering tellings off by a game Jamie Lee Curtis, playing a really good comedic character here. I feel that some of the opening scenes in this movie would be even more meaningful to Asian diaspora folk living in Western countries, especially, you know, those who have had lives there, as this character has. But it shines through for everyone who watches this because of the acting. Evelyn is exhausted. She's just so tired with so much to do, and it's never enough, no matter how much she gets through. And I think a lot of people watching can relate to that. It has some of the whist of Nomadland, another brilliant movie by Chloe Zhao, that I recommend. And I really enjoy, at the moment, this wave of stories around middle-aged women that we're getting. Long may it continue, because, you know, as a pair, Nomadland and Everything Everywhere, a couple of real stunners there. So Evelyn starts getting weird messages, though, and she starts realizing that she can shift into other versions of the universe, in some of which she's had a very different life. I've never actually seen an episode of Doctor Who, but if I'm not wrong, this seems like exactly the kind of thing you could see on that show. You've got these multiple universes right next to our own, distinguished by tiny things that have caused huge differences. And it has this theme of tiny decisions having a huge impact on the trajectory of your life, which gives the Daniels, the directors, lots of opportunities to have utterly absurd non-sequitur comedy sequences involving everything from people with hot dog fingers and elsewhere paying tribute to the cinematic style of, you know, everyone from Wong Kar-wai to Stephen Chow. Without missing a beat, I should say the direction is breathless, but never bungles the tone and never feels untrue to its characters, importantly. You really believe that this could be a version of the same woman stood in a resplendent evening gown, being treated with adulation rather than cowering at a desk at the IRS. And that's the bittersweet and tragic point of the film. Sometimes a person is just a couple of seconds or one sentence away from doing something that lets them fulfill their potential. The sci-fi concepts get nutty, and it can take a couple of beats for you to be on board, or at least in my experience. But I found once it had set out its world, the film did a really good job playing by its own rules and using them for humour. I didn't get lost in kind of sci-fi bullshit or, you know, terminology or mumbo-jumbo. There was no kind of people coming in halfway through and doing exposition dumps. You know, once they set out their stall, they just kind of ran with it. And they were more interested in extracting the funny moments and the dramatic moments from this, which, good choice. Especially because this film is incredibly funny. I haven't laughed as helplessly and as loudly in a cinema ever, I don't think, at least not since I was a little kid. I was crying tears of laughter. And even in films I find very funny, I'm normally sat quite quietly. I don't have big, loud responses most of the time when I'm watching a movie in public. But this hit me right in the funny bone. I mean, it's ridiculous. Some of the most absurd scenes you've seen, you know, probably since the aforementioned Stephen Chow, but with a devilish mischief and just like a complete rudeness that makes it sometimes even better. I don't want to spoil it. I implore you to go and see this. Don't get spoiled by headlines and tweets and GIFs. This movie deserves better than that. And like I say, everybody's going to be talking about it eventually. You know, that tweet is going to come across your timeline, or that person's going to talk about it on Facebook. And that is always a shame when you didn't get to have that great moment because somebody else is celebrating the fact that they did. Go and see it as fast as you can, because this is on track to probably becoming the, you know, one of the real darlings of the year. It also has an amazing heart to it, as mentioned. Underneath all the wacky sci-fi hijinks and the increasingly dizzying number of universes and versions of everybody to keep track of, which, like I say, isn't a pain in the ass to do, and the funny moments, which are always along just in time, this is a poignant family film. It uses the most grandiose imagery and notions it can possibly grasp to impart messages that are unbelievably intimate and tiny, but the most important things in the world at the same time. To even state them here would seem trite, and yet presented as they are, they leave you just thunderstruck, just welling up and feeling like you've been refreshed by a real realization or some kind of revelation. I love this film. It's one of the best I've seen, and it is giving a huge wave of appreciation to one of my favorite actors ever. So please go and see this. So yes, Everything Everywhere All at Once, film of the year so far, easily. Very hard to beat as well, I think. Next episode, we'll be back to Korean movies and telly, back to normal, but I am going to mix in a few of these, movies from different markets. I love Hong Kong cinema, all of the, Johnny To and stuff like that. I love Thai movies, especially the horror stuff, and recently been getting into Indian movies as well, from various Indian film markets. There's some very good horror movies from India, so I might start getting those into the mix. If they're good, why not? We're all here for the same reason, which is that we love film and telly, and we want to discover more stuff, and that shouldn't restricted by where it's from, even if working with the stuff that comes out of Korea as a starting point does give a very rich seam of material, as I'm sure we can all appreciate. Anyway, you can follow this show on at kbotakpod, that's kbotakpod, on Twitter and Instagram. Retweets and shares and much appreciated reviews are very much appreciated. And please do subscribe and listen in next time as well. Thank you so much. Go and see Everything Everywhere All at Once, and hopefully talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening. Cheers.